This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجه ومستن بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فاتقوا الله أيها الأحباب فقد أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون ثم أما بعد. My brothers and sisters, first and foremost, we would like to make a short dua for our brothers and sisters in light of what has happened in Mecca, in light of what has happened in Mina, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count all of them from amongst his shuhada. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the families of these individuals sabr and patience. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite all of us with them in his Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. Allahumma ameen. Many Muslims are wondering, and they're asking a lot of questions of why these tragedies happen to us. You know, yesterday, after my Eid khutbah, a brother comes to me and he says, what I've just heard you say was the worst khutbah I've ever heard. And I've taken criticism in my life. It's part of the job. It comes with the territory. And one of the du'as that I make to Allah Azza wa Jal is I say to him, Ya Rabbi, if I can't stand with a microphone sincerely for you, don't wake me up anymore. And so criticism is one thing. Insulting me is something else. But if you want to constructively criticize, you have to listen to that. As a da'i or as a speaker and as a teacher, you must listen to criticism. So I told this brother, I said, wait, when I'm finished here, I'll talk to you. So I'm meeting and greeting, and when all of that is done, I speak to the brother. And the brother says to me, today's khutbah you said about these people who have died, this is Allah's qadr, and we can't do anything about that, etc., etc. And then he says, but you're wrong, this is our fault. It's the Muslims that did that to the people of Mina. And then I knew where the conversation was going. It's going to get personal, it's going to get political. So he started to talk to me about Saudi's governments and their policies and their rules, etc. And I said to him, relax. Maybe you're right. Maybe the policies and rules and the system over there may have had something to do with this. But you're missing the point. You're missing the real reason why bad things happen or tragedies happen to people. The point of this is, these individuals who died in Mina, it was written for them that they were not going to return back home. They were not going to complete their Hajj. Allah had already prescribed that for them. You're missing the point. So put aside the political talk for a moment and come to me from a spiritual angle and look at how Allah Azza wa Jal sets the tone and the mindset for you and I. And this is what I'm going to share with you in my khutbah. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran in Surah Ali Imran, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, don't even allow your minds to think for a moment that the people who are killed fi sabilillah are actually dead. Now pause. Earlier on in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah said something similar but slightly different. And he said to the people of Medina, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. In that ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah spoke to the people of Medina and he said to them, don't even say or utter or verbalize that the people who die fi sabilillah, that they're actually dead. Do you see the difference? In one ayah, Allah is addressing the mentality of the individual. In that verse, Allah is simply addressing your tongue. Now this is important. Put this into light. The people of Medina already have iman. They already believe that whatever Allah is going to do with people, this is His qadr, and they accept. They completely submit themselves to Allah. So they have iman. But does this sound familiar? Some of the companions might still get into a conversation and talk about, can you believe what happened to Mus'ab ibn Umair? Did you see how he died? And they'd start having that conversation. Then you and I might be talking about, see what happened to these people in Mina? What a tragedy. My God, this is terrible. We need to write a letter to the Saudi officials. We need to get to the Hajj ministry and get them involved. We need to get the media involved. So you start having these conversations. In your heart, you believe in Allah's qadr, but your tongue is saying something else. You're criticizing how this could have happened. Now, from a political standpoint, you should speak out. If there is problems with policies in the system, you should talk about them. You should try your best to improve this as best as you can, but don't depend on it, because Allah's qadr will always take place, will always work. So here Allah Azza wa Jal is telling the people of Medina, those conversations you're having, make sure that you keep them in check, and it doesn't affect this. It doesn't affect your iman. Let me put this and paint a clearer picture for you. Those of you who have never gone for Hajj, don't be discouraged by what happened in Mina yesterday. And don't tell yourself, well, it's a good thing I didn't get my visa this year. I applied, I saved up my money, I didn't get my visa, but alhamdulillah, look what happened. That could have been me. Don't do that to yourself. Don't kill your soul that way. And don't destroy your iman that way. Because Allah Azza wa Jal says, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونَ, wherever you are, يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, death is going to come and it's going to find you. So don't try to run away. And don't try to protect yourself from it. All you need to do is to make sure that you have faith in Allah and continue. استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة. Continue to have patience in your life and perform the acts of worship Allah tells you to do. So the people of Medina, Allah puts their tongue in place. Now in Surah Ali Imran, Allah addresses the mentality. Why? Because at the end of the day, regardless what you choose to say or not say, your mind is going to wonder. You're going to think about, subhanAllah, look at the pictures that are on Facebook, and look at these bodies piled on top of each other, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I can accept Allah's qadr, but man, this looks really, really bad. And shaitan gets into your head, and you start thinking in ways you shouldn't be thinking. So Allah Azza wa Jal stops you from a spiritual perspective, from an iman perspective. You know, it's naturally okay to feel sad. And it's naturally okay to feel upset. And it's naturally okay as a human being to feel frustrated that these rules that are set in place, the Muslims aren't following them. That's why we needed an ayah in Quran that says, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ. When? In Hajj. We don't have an ayah that's saying to you and I, watch your tongue, don't cause mischief, don't bring out hatred in any other time of the year, except in Hajj. Allah says, especially in Hajj, watch these three things. Because why? You're going to cause a massive chaotic situation. And those of you who've gone to Hajj, you can see and visualize exactly what this is. When Muslims lose their patience, when they get frustrated, when the heat and the sun really gets to them, things get out of control. You can't imagine the chaotic situation that took place in Mina unless you've been to Mina, unless you've seen for yourself what it's like there. I myself have been, I don't want to call myself a victim, but I myself was part of a stampede in one of my own hajj, and I fell to the ground. But it was only Allah Azza wa Jal's qadr that a man grabbed my ihram and held me up, and he hugged me. And he says, "You're okay," and he carried me out from the stampede, or else you may not see me standing in front of you today. So I know firsthand what this feels like. And wallahi, brothers and sisters, it is absolutely tearful to think about that these brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, they're sitting there in this crowd. And some of them died with their index finger on their right hand as if they knew this is the end for me. They knew it was coming. They knew they were going to die. Can you imagine the joy that they felt when they got their visas, and some of them getting hajj for the first time in their life? I read an article the day before of a 90-year-old woman. She saved up 70 years of her life to perform her first hajj. And can you imagine the thought that she could have been one of those victims yesterday in Mina? I'm told that the majority of the deaths were people in wheelchairs. They can't go anywhere. They're stuck. And Allah Azza wa Jal's qadr is there. Now I've just painted for you a pretty sad image. Now listen to how Allah brings joy out of everything, subhanAllah. When you hold on to Allah, you feel happy. And when you're grateful with Allah, Allah protects the optimistic attitude in your heart. Gratitude protects optimism in you. You're always grateful, so you're always happy. Listen to how Allah keeps you happy, even when you look at what happened. Allah says, don't even think for a moment that the people قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ who were killed in the path of Allah, that they are dead. Understand what the path of Allah is in these verses. Do you notice that Allah doesn't define it? Allah doesn't tell you fi sabilillah, and Allah doesn't say where. Allah doesn't say in the battlefield. Allah doesn't say in hajj. Allah doesn't say in prayer. So scholars took fi sabilillah to literally mean whenever you do anything for Allah, you are now in the path of Allah. So can you imagine when you get in your cars and you drive for Jum'ah, you are in fi sabilillah. And if you happen to die in that path, then you're counted as shaheed, subhanAllah. Don't think that you need to be out there in the battlefield or in hajj to be counted as a shaheed. You literally could be in Toronto. You literally could be living a normal life and you could die as a shaheed. And I'll tell you what the reward of that is in a moment. Then Allah used the word amwata. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah said amwatun. Arabic students, pay attention. In Surah Ali Imran, amwata is mansub. It has the two fathas. In Surah Al-Baqarah, amwata is marfu'. It has two dhammas on top. Same word, but the structure is completely different. Mansub in Quran, or the two fathas, express a level of emphasis. Allah is really trying to drive this point home hard to you. To set your mind straight, don't think like this when you see these pictures and these images. They look so gruesome. You know how hard it is to find something positive when you're seeing pictures of bodies everywhere? You know how difficult that is? You need strong faith and iman to really get something positive out of that. Otherwise, what are you going to do? You're just going to say, subhanAllah, look at this. Look at where our ummah is. Look at what's happening to these people. Look what the Saudi government is doing. That's how your mentality is going to be. So Allah put amwata with two fathas and said, okay, stop for a moment. Your mind, you, and now Surah Ali Imran is talking to the general people. Surah Al-Baqarah is talking to the people of Medina. They don't need that hard message because they're very strong in iman. So Allah put the two dhammas. Just know that they're not dead. For you and I, who are struggling with iman all the time, every second and every day of our lives, Allah really drives the point home hard to you and I. Get your act together. Keep your iman in check. These people, they're not actually dead. From a spiritual perspective, their bodies are gone. And this is a really important thing to keep in mind. When you're reflecting on events like this, you have to start to think and wonder how quickly death comes to you. I mean, you could be sitting and doing the most trivial thing and you die. Death is not something that comes and apologizes and says, "I'm sorry, I know you're playing with your kids, I'll come back when you're alone. I'm sorry you're watching a movie, I'll come back when you're in sujood." It just finds you and it takes your soul and you're done. And you have to really, really, you, Ya Abdullah, you and I, slaves of Allah, you have to really, really set your mentality that every second, at every point, at every moment of your life, death can find you. And this is why every khutbah you hear, don't you hear how it starts with the one verse in Surah Ali Imran? وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Don't you dare leave this world and die unless you are in the state of Muslim. Allah didn't say mu'min, Allah said Muslim. Muslim, it's how you behave. Mu'min is something that comes out of being Muslim. So Allah says, as a starting point, act like a Muslim. Be civilized like a Muslim. Talk like a Muslim. You want to criticize? Criticize like a Muslim. Be respectful, be constructive. But you can disagree and still get along. I honestly think these basic fundamentals of our religion is actually some of the hardest things that we have, that we need to master in our ummah. Just disagreeing and getting along at the end of the day is one of the greatest challenges. You know, Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah once debated with a scholar. And when he debated with this man at the end of the debate looked at Imam al-Shafi and started cursing at him and started swearing at him because he was upset that Imam al-Shafi'i won the debate. Imam al-Shafi'i looks at the man and says, "What's wrong with you? Why is it that we can't disagree and still be brothers?" Can you imagine if that statement was on in front of every masjid, in front of every Islamic institution, how it would look like? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, you, Ya Abdullah, whose iman keeps fluctuating up and down, you need to really remind yourself of the reality of these people. Then Allah paints the picture clearly. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. InshaAllah ta'ala, the people in Mina, InshaAllah ta'ala, the people from the crane tragedy, inshallah ta'ala, all of our brothers and sisters in this world, in Syria, in Philistine, in Burma, all over the Muslim world, whose lives have been taken innocently for no reason. Inshallah ta'ala, right now as you and I are sitting in this masjid, their soul is alive and with Allah. Bal ahya, indeed, these people are alive. Now scholars differ. What does it mean when you say that the soul of an individual is alive? Some ulama, one opinion states that the soul is taken out of this body and it's placed in Jannah. Another opinion states that the soul is taken out in this world, but in the grave it's returned back to those individuals. And their grave is now a garden from the gardens of Jannah. Another opinion states that when they're given this soul back in their graves, they are under some kind of tan'im or ni'mah that none of you and I know about. Some sort of blessing and comfort is given to them. And the jumhur, the most correct opinion amongst the ulama, is the soul is taken out of this dunya and it's sitting in Jannah. Because our Prophet ﷺ told us, as far as the shaheed is concerned, their soul is taken out and is put in a bird, put inside a green bird. Don't try to picture this, brothers and sisters. Remember, this green bird is a bird of Jannah. So don't try to compare it to a bird in the dunya. The name is the same, But the actual creation itself is different. Just like we will have fruits in Jannah, it doesn't mean that the same mango and banana you eat here is going to be the same thing you find there. The name is the same, but the quality and the product itself is going to be different. Our Prophet ﷺ says this green bird, its only task and job is that it will have the soul of a martyr inside of it, and it will fly around the Jannah until the day of judgment, eating and drinking from Jannah. This is a sharaf and an honor given to our shuhada. Now, that's only one side of the picture. What about the family members of these individuals? What about you and I who are still alive, breathing well today? What does Allah Azza wa Jal say to you and I? Is it so hard? You know, you look at these images, it's so tearful. And then you think about the son of that father who died, or the father whose children died, or the mother who died, or the little girl who died. Like, all of these things start to run in your mind. So what is the message Allah leaves you and I with when you look at images like this? This is what I will conclude with in the second part of the khutbah. بإذن الله تعالى أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ورسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه أما بعد بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. Indeed, these souls, they are alive and they are with their master, and Allah is providing for them, giving them his rizq. فرحين بما آتاهم الله من فضله. Allah Azza wa Jal says, these same souls in the Akhirah right now, they are so happy and so content with what Allah has given them. The kind of death they were given, the kind of death the people in Mina were given, is the death that you and I would wish for. They were in the state of Ihram, performing one of the greatest acts of worship we will have until the day of judgment. And then they're in the state of worship. So they're in Hajj. Then on top of that, their tongues are filled with adhkar. They may have just performed their sacrifices. They're in these blessed lands of Mecca. It's a death that you and I, we would want. You can't count how much blessings Allah has given these people. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept them, Allahumma Ameen. They're happy. بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ, with what Allah has given them of his blessing. وَيَسْتَبِشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ أَلَّا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Here is Allah's message to you, who's still alive right now. Allah says, يَسْتَبِشِرُونَ بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Now you and I, Allah Azza wa Jal says, as for those who did not follow along in the same death, so the family members of these individuals, or for you and I who are here, Allah says, as for you, Allah khawfun alayhim, don't be scared about what you've just seen. Because this is going to be a satanic attitude. Shaitan will come to you and say, look, it's a good thing you don't go for Hajj. Look what happened. You could be next. Don't go for Hajj. Wait, or spend $40,000, $50,000, get the most VIP package you can find and keep yourself safe, so you don't really feel the hardship or any value in the Hajj. Just do that. That's what Shaitan will come and tell you. Allah says, no. Don't be afraid. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And don't be sad. These people, Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, don't be scared. What are they scared of? They're not just scared because it could be their turn. They're also scared for their family members who died, because now those individuals are going to meet Allah. Now they're going to meet Allah. And Allah says to them, don't be sad. You, don't be sad. Why? Why would you be sad at this point? Because they're gone. It's your mother, it's your father, it's your child. They're gone, they're separated from you. It's a sad thing. But Allah Azza wa Jalla says, don't be sad. They are happy and well. And they got the best death that they could ask for from Allah in this world. And so, brothers and sisters, if you're still wondering why these things happen, the whole point of it is to realize that this was Allah's qadr. They were destined not to complete the Hajj. And inshallah, Allah Azza wa Jal will give them their Hajj. Inshallah, they will have the reward. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, and I leave you with this hadith, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا بِعَبْدِي. If Allah Azza wa Jal wants good for his slave, listen to what the Prophet says, يَسْتَعْمِلْهُ. Allah will use him. So the Sahabas heard this and they said, Ya Rasulullah, كَيْفَ يَسْتَعْمِلْهُ. How does Allah use his slave? And the Prophet ﷺ responds and says to them, يَسْتَعْمِلْهُ بِعَمَلٍ صَالِحٍ ثُمَّ يَقْبِضْهُ. The Prophet ﷺ says, Allah is going to use that slave and give him the tawfiq to do righteous deeds. Inshallah, that's all of you here. That's all of us. Allah's going to use you and I, inshallah, that our lives are filled with righteous deeds. Then look at how the hadith ends. ثُمَّ يَقْبِضْهُ. Then Allah will snatch you away in the state of righteousness. Allahu Akbar. You do righteous deeds, then inshallah, that is the state you will die in. Stay sincere and Allah will take your soul. Now take that hadith that is narrated in a Tirmidhi and put that hadith to our brothers and sisters in Mina. Allah says, the Prophet ﷺ says, يَقْبِضْهُ, comes from the word قَبَضَ. قَبَضَ means to snatch something swiftly. They're not going to see this death coming. So they're walking and they're saying their takbir. They're yelling, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And then all of a sudden the stampede happens. A few minutes later, they are dead. And they are dead in the state of righteousness, inshallah. Subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jal used these people. And Allah Azza wa Jal gave them tawfiq. Ask Allah, Ya Rabbi, use me. Use me for righteousness. Give me the strength that I continue to worship to you, that I continue to pray to you. Ya Rabbi, you don't need me, but I need you. It's not what does Allah want from me. It's what do I want from Allah Azza wa Jal. Ya Rabbi, give us the strength. We are here as your slaves and as your servants. Oh Allah, give us the strength and the health that we continue to worship you to the best of our ability. This is the dua you have to keep making every single day when you see events happen like this. May Allah Azza wa Jal increase our iman. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us ikhlas and taqwa in our hearts and keep it there and sustain it and continue to strengthen it. Allahumma ameen. And so these are the words that I conclude with, brothers and sisters. We send peace and blessings to our Rasul, salawatu Rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi, kama amarana subhanahu wa ta'ala fi tanzili, inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusallun ala nabi, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات المؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات. اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وقم الصلاة.